The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice on this, what? It's December 15th, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yes,
okay?
2021.
And see, that's little Lisa. She's not supposed to squeak until she's spoken to, but she squeaked early, okay? And
good evening, everyone.
All right, good. Get out of here now. You said it. Go. Okay, there you go. That's a little Lisa. And we got the boys in the boiler room in the back. We keep a lot of sight back there. Ruddy, Randy, and Smitten Wit. All right, there you go. We've got them in the back. And so, of course, on the board, we've got none other than the Mighty Andrew. And also, you know what, Mighty Andrew, I forgot to tell you, Miss Wendy's supposed to be joining us tonight. Okay, Wendy Wilson is supposed to be joining us. And she's a whole lot prettier than Pastor Joe, but even I'm prettier than Pastor Joe.
Hey, probably right. I have the perfect face for radio, so I might as well be here and go to work.
Well, you want to know what happened tonight? I was a guest. There was another program before me. Mike had his program on, so I sat on the other side of the table. So Andy, instead of seeing my face, he just saw the back of my head.
It was refreshing, Pastor.
Yeah. Can you believe that? He said it was an improvement. Oh, there you go.
I can believe that.
Alrighty, this is Pledge Week, and guess what? We've got off to a good start. Edwin from Ontario pledges 100. Roland from Canton pledges 100. Wow, we got a good start right out of the chute. So 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. There you go. And so we want to praise the good Lord for that.
And I just want to say it's Pledge Week because we try and raise enough money in 1 week to take care of a whole month so we don't have to talk about money. And we are totally listener-supported. No one takes any money in this ministry. Pastor Ernie has never taken a dime in over 40 years on radio. All the donations pay the bills. Keep us on the air on the station you're listening to. So that's what we're doing, folks.
All right, very good. Well, let's get it done tonight. Let's start right off in Colossians chapter 2. Do you remember the title of the message?
The title of the message, many babies have become kings, but only one king ever became a baby.
Absolutely right. And I think we have Wendy with us. Wendy, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. And we just started in the Bible study, and so we've got you here. And the title of the message was, Many Babies Have Become Kings, But Only One King Ever Became a Baby. And
I like
we're going to pick it up where we left off in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. Go ahead, Joe.
As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
All right, so when we start up, when it says here, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up. What do you think that means, rooted and built up?
Well, rooted in him.
Studying the Word of God.
Go ahead, Wendy.
I'm sorry, studying the Word of God?
Well, that would have an application. Go ahead, Joe.
I was thinking rooted in him. We're supposed to be, we're the branches, he's the vine that we are to be rooted in, that we get all our nourishment, our sustenance from.
So that's where, Wendy, as you know, the plants that you use in your apothecary herbs get their nourishment from the minerals in the ground, huh? And that's what it was referring to, that we get our nourishment, our wisdom, being from the Word of God, right here, from the teaching of the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says here, in the faith, as you're established in the faith, and so you would be right on talking about the Word of God, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. Is that important, thanksgiving?
Absolutely.
Extremely. We are to, everything in the world should be taken with thanksgiving. We should be thankful every day that we wake up, that we have food on the table, that we have friends, family, homes, jobs, air to breathe, water to drink, a place to sleep. I mean, it's all because of him and everlasting life because of what he did for us on the cross.
What about these all these self-made men, these self-made millionaires?
Well, they have a little. They have theirs now. I have my mansion in heaven. I just have to wait a little longer.
Okay. Has there ever been a self-made man?
No.
I don't think so. Yeah.
No. That's a disclaimer. You know, there is no such thing as a self-made man. And here, as you talk about, you know, we hear this stuff all the time, and he gives us a warning about that, okay? Of course, and he tells us over in James 4:17, don't say this, you know, don't say that, that I'm going to do this tomorrow, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to go so far, and maybe, he says, don't do that, because, let me ask you this. Are we sustained in God, or does God sustain us?
God sustains us. That's why we're to say, good Lord willing. I'll be on the radio tomorrow night, good Lord willing.
So who decides the moment that we depart from this world, when the moment our soul is required of us?
God does.
So what about these people that you say, well, okay, I've made up my mind. I'm going to commit suicide. Can that happen apart from God allowing it to happen?
I think
no.
So
not unless he allows it.
So here now, does God is omniscient, so he knows ahead of time He knows ahead of time what we're going to think, doesn't he?
Yes. Well, he knows everything about us, even things that happen, you know, the instant before we die.
So these things that are planned out, I've known some people that have committed suicide, and they have these things planned out, and it's like, well, you know, this is totally, you know, God forgive me, you know, as if God wasn't aware of what they're going to do, right?
Right, like they're telling him something he doesn't know.
Right. So the time that our soul is required, the time that we depart this world, has been already been predetermined by God in the manners. Now, even if we think that we're totally in charge, are we ever totally in charge?
No. Yeah, that's funny. No.
All right. Susan in Illinois pledges $100. Thank you, Susan.
If we sin, we think we're in charge. We're making a decision. We're using that free will to go against God or his laws if we sin, but it's only because he allows us. He gave us the free will and allows us to use it.
All right, let's look at this. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. So what do you, okay.
Like that's the greatest warning in the entire world in a brief, short sentence.
So what is that word there? Do you know what that word, the definition of that word there in the Greek, what that means? That any man spoil you? It means to...
Spoil, yeah, if you spoil something, you change the way it's headed. You don't let it get to completion.
Well, actually, what it means there, right, is to be taken captive. Taken captive.
Ah, okay. Captive.
Beware lest any man take you captive through philosophy and vain deceit. Okay, so here you go. That word vain, all is vanity, vanity. The definition of that means empty. Empty. In other words, how would
all
you...
promises, lies. Right?
Right. And so in the rudiments there are what they call basic principles of the world, okay, after the rudiments of men or the rudiments of the world. So what are some of those basic principles that we see today of the world, okay? Basic principles like global warming, like depopulation. These are basic principles that you see out there. Like evolution, they teach that as a basic principle. Is any of that valid at all?
No, none of it.
So he's given
all the world is they have all these words, these isms, postmodernism, human secularism, everything is an ism, even Judaism, communism, socialism, almost all these philosophies are isms, and all isms are basically Antichrist.
Yeah. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, that comes to that word hypostatic union, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. He is fully God and yet fully man at the same time.
So
he has all the fullness of God. He's completely God, but he's also completely human.
So the process of the hypostatic union is that the Christ was fully God, as it says here, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he was fully man. But the process is that none of the attributes of his humanity could be transferred to his deity, because if some of the attributes of his humanity were transferred to his deity, would he be all God?
Yeah, well, yeah, so he would have to be either all God or all man.
He would be less than deity, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So what if
I mean, if he had some deity in the human flesh, he couldn't be wholly human. He would be partially God. And if he had if the part of the human was in him as God, he would be less than the almighty, all-powerful God.
So then if some of the attributes of his deity were transferred to his humanity, then he would be like Superman, wouldn't he?
Yeah, like a lesser God.
Yeah, he would be more than a man. And so that's what we call what? the process of the hypostatic union, huh?
Union, yeah.
Okay, so here now, he says, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. How are we complete in him?
Because we have the indwelling, born-again believers, of the Holy Spirit. We have been made sons and daughters of God. We have been adopted into the family, grafted in. We're talking about that. We're the branches grafted into the vine. We're grafted into the family of God, and he sustains us completely. And he is the head of all everything in the universe. He is the supreme judge of the universe. He's the one that keeps the universe in control, keeps it moving, consisting, and he is the one who made all the rules and regulations in the universe.
Okay, so if we go over to Galatians chapter 1, and in Galatians chapter 1, we start with verse 6, we read, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And he said, as we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, than that they have received, let him be accursed. For I do not persuade men or God, or I seek to please men, for if I have yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which we preached of me is not after men, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversion in times past from the Jews' religion. Now, so here, this is what he's talking about. Paul was talking about the Judaizers, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Right.
And so what did the Judaizers teach? Because they said that they taught that you would be complete if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what else?
But follow the traditions of the Jews. The circumcision, religious laws, and all this.
So if you combine the dietary laws and the ceremonial laws, and you combine that with your belief in Christ, then you would be complete?
Right. Which is wrong.
So Paul says, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So now here, today you have, I remember for many years in the prison ministry up on death row, I ministered to a fellow for 17 years. And he considered himself to be, quite a scholar. And he studied all different religions. And he would kind of try to tell you that basically what you really did need was to have a practice of all of them, to kind of bring all of them in together to make the perfect religion. So,
right.
That's not what Paul's saying, isn't it? Is he?
No, not anywhere close.
So what he's telling you here is that, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So he's telling you that you don't really need any of these other things at all, do you?
No.
They're not necessary for anything important. They can occupy time, but most importantly, all these diversions lead you away from Christ, not to him.
So then he goes on to say, which is the head of all principality. That word principality there means what? Rule.
Government.
Rule. It means ruler. It's the head of all rule. There's, all rulers. All authority. And, of course, the The word power actually means what? It means authority. So here he says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So he's telling you that Christ is the all in all, and that we don't need anything else. And we don't even want to go there, do we?
No. Well, like I said, most of the time it's a waste of time. And basically, a lot of people are led astray by doing what that man thought he was a philosopher, by adding all these things together. We create our own idea of religion. We create our own salvation. All it does is get the world into trouble.
Okay, all right.
A simple explanation, like if your grandma had the best recipe in the world for chocolate chip cookies, and you opened up and found every chocolate chip cookie recipe, combined them all together, you'd end up with a lousy mess. You would not have the best cookie.
That's why I never fool around with chocolate chip cookies, Joe. Okay, we want to go to Susan in Illinois. She pledges 100. Jesse in Minnesota pledges 50. Carol from North Olmsted pledges 50. And Donna from Cleveland pledges 400. We got a bit louder crowd tonight, don't we? Yeah.
A little louder group. You make a great hot chili, but I don't know about your cookies.
Okay, yeah. All right, very good. I bet Wendy can make good cookies.
I try.
She makes better herbal medicines than cookies, probably.
She makes the best, doesn't she?
Well, I don't know how good her cookies are. I was trying to be nice, give her a little leeway there.
Go ahead, Wendy.
I think God makes the best herbal medicine, actually.
All right. Well, that takes us over to prophecies of the Christ child. Prophecies of the Christ child. So, do you know where we find the very first prophecy of the Christ child?
Genesis 3. It's in verse 15. It's about 6,000 years old, and it's called the Evangelium.
Boy, he won't even let you talk, will he, Wendy? Alrighty, let's go over there and read Genesis 3:15. Go ahead, Joe.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
So that's known as the proto-evangel. And do you know what the proto-evangel means? The word means the first gospel. That's what it means, the first gospel. Now, there's a problem there. Let's look at this. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. There's a problem there. Wendy, do women have seeds?
They have eggs and men have seeds.
Sperm. Yeah. Okay. So here now, he's telling you something that this woman, or he's telling you there's going to be a child born without a human father, because men have seeds, huh?
Yeah.
And so since he didn't have a human father, then his father was not a man, was it?
Right.
So who was the father of the Christ child, of that holy thing?
Well, it would have been God, right?
The Holy Spirit, yep. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and they shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise the heel. Now, have you ever had a bruised heel?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think I have, but go ahead.
Well, if you have a bruised heel, it can be very painful, but you can still walk, even on crutches, or you can still even drive a car. Even if your heel is totally shot, no. But what about if you don't have a head?
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, what can you do?
Crane, the headless horseman, yes.
So, without a head, you're not going to really function, right?
Right. There's no function. There is no life.
So then what I'd have to do is, say, go to D.C. and be a Democratic congressman, right?
No brains, yeah.
no place, you know, where they don't use their heads. All you'd have to do is take a look at Build Back Better and notice that nobody is using their head there, right?
Right.
Okay,
so for evil purposes.
Okay, so here he's telling you that the future descendant of Eve would have no human father. And let me ask you this. Will that ever happen again?
No.
So we find a couple things in this one verse. There's going to be war, all-out war between God's seed. That means the people that are saved and between those that are not saved, huh?
Right.
Right. Between God's people and Satan's people.
And we see that right now. I mean, are Satan's people kind of clearly defined over in John chapter 8?
I can't remember exactly John 8, but you're probably right.
Well, let me jump over there very quickly and just read it to you real fast, and then we're going to go to a break. Okay, here you go. Jesus said, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words, you are of your father, the devil." That's all that needs to be said, right? And what is he talking about? Those that do not obey his words. We'll be back right after this.
Still quiet night in Bethlehem. Birth sleeps and few take thought of him. But the heavens rejoice and the angels sing. The child of Bethlehem is the King of Kings. Still, wise men worship at his feet. Still, lost souls awaken from their sleep, and the heavens rejoice, and the angels sing. The child of Bethlehem is the King of Kings. Down from heaven's glory, every knee shall bow, every knee.
All righty, we're back. And Peter in Portland pledges 200. And guess what, Miss Wendy? I forgot to mention, you pledged 800. So.
That's a rowdy crowd you have there tonight.
What'd you say?
Sounds like a good one.
You pledged 800.
Oh, right. That's right. Yep, I did.
All righty. Did you forget?
I did, yeah.
All righty. Well, listen. What are you here for tonight? Tell us what is on Wendy's World.
Well, I thought I'd let you take a pick at some of these topics I have here, Pastor. We have the longevity drug, Quicksilver, or women at higher risk of side effects. So which one do you want to hear about?
Give me those three again.
A longevity drug, Quicksilver, or women at higher risk of side effects?
Boy, let's do the women.
The women? Okay.
Yep.
Good choice.
Alrighty.
Well, yes, this is some research. This is August 2020 at the University of California, Berkeley, and the University of Chicago. They state that females are more likely to have drug side effects than their counterparts, men, and they're also over-medicated compared to men. So I was asking myself, well, why is that? Why are women more vulnerable to drugs?
I know, they're mean.
Okay. Well, I was saying, well,
I better call your wife after the show and tell her what you said.
All right.
Well, I was wondering, well, is it because the woman's the weaker vessel, or is it because the female body is equipped to handle prescription drugs differently? I thought, let's check this out. So one reason the report was stating that women are at a higher risk than men taking prescribed medications is that the human drug trials often have male participants. So the drug doses are standardized based on the male metabolism and not the female metabolism. The same problem exists when drug companies establish vaccine doses, as the human trials don't really establish doses for infants and toddlers. So the drug companies simply make an educated guess based on a hypothesis. Let me read you a quote from the study. They say women are more likely than men to suffer adverse side effects of medications because drug doses are historically based on clinical trials that are conducted on men. Now, I want you to keep this in mind that, you know, a lot of these drugs are grandfathered into the marketplace. They become over-the-counter, and these were all established on having drug trials based on men.
Hmm.
So some of the data here, the university researchers actually took data from thousands of medical journal studies. And what they found is evidence that there's this gender bias that exists with medical science. It's kind of unsettling to realize your common medications that are prescribed or now over-the-counter are primarily designed for men. Drugs like antidepressants, cardiovascular drugs, anti-seizure medications, and even analgesics. So therefore, women often have profound side effects as the medication doses are really too toxic for them. And the research did get published in the Journal of Biology and Sex Differences. Now, I thought that may, you know, kind of ring a bell with you. Why are there sex differences? Because in this day and age, they say there aren't any.
Right.
Well, according to the AMA, there aren't sexes. They said there's no longer, well, they put the gender on the birth certificate because there's no actual proof that there's really two genders.
Well, I know. What do they put there? It? They don't put male or female. They just put it?
I don't know. I haven't seen one of the new birth certificates.
Okay. Well, here's another quote from the study. It said, prescribing drugs as a one-size-fits-all approach that is based on male-dominated clinical trials is not safe and is not working for women. There are fundamental biological differences between men and women. And
are you sure?
Yeah. Oh. University of California, Berkeley. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I've looked at my wife and I've looked at myself, and I can tell you there are very many fundamental differences.
Oh, yeah. Well, some
this
of the
observation
doses
will answer that one, right? And then look at that swimmer, that guy that was the male swimmer for years, claiming to be a female. He's breaking all the records. And they're trying to convince us that he is the same as the female participants. I mean, it's such a load of, we call it horse manure.
Wendy, do you notice something there? All of these feminists are supposed to be speaking up for women's rights. Where are they? I don't hear their voices out there. These poor girls, these poor high school girls, and those in the college.
College athletes, yeah.
They're being just slam dunked. And where are these so-called women speaking up? Now, is it because transgender is not normal? It's because it's contrary to the word of God. Therefore, being contrary to the word of God, they have to support that. Is that it?
I don't know what it is. I mean, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, does it?
Well, you know, we kind of depend upon you to tell us things like that that Joe and I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's sort of trying to get into the mind of the reprobate. How do you make any sense of it? Well, let's talk about these doses here, because what the researchers at these two universities found is that women overall receive higher concentrations of the drugs compared to men, and it produces an accumulative effect. So the drug tends to linger in the female blood system longer. The body struggles to eliminate the residue, and it puts an excessive burden on the female liver and other filtering organs. So the average physician prescribing medications to female patients are largely ignorant of this fact.
Yeah. I was told one time by a pharmacist, and when I had gotten a prescription, and I can't remember what it was all for, it was something, but he said, here's the amount that you take. Mm-hmm. And he told me that at that time, and that was some years ago, it was based upon a man who weighed 140 pounds, that this is where they based it, an adult dose of a person that weighs 140 pounds. So somebody that weighed 250 pounds would have to take more of this. So in other words, he was telling you to take... No, it wasn't a prescription. It was an over-the-counter, and what was on the bottle, he was saying, here, this is for a person that weighs 140. You weigh 140 pounds more, so you ought to take more of it. This was his advice. What do you think?
Not really sure. What was it you were taking?
I can't remember. Might have been something.
Like alcohol, you know, the heavier, bigger you are, the more alcohol you can absorb and hold before you're, you know,
well, yeah, now think about this for a minute. Since these clinical trials were based on male metabolisms and body mass, you know, anatomy, one drop of male's blood has 1 million more red blood cells than one drop of a woman's blood.
So there's, in other words, you're saying there's an extreme chemical and biological difference between men and women, and yet the medical world does not want to go there.
Right, and it's because you have more muscle mass than a woman, you need more blood. See, so your blood has to feed that muscle mass. Women don't have the same muscle mass. So yeah, it's an extremely significant difference. So basically, in over 90% of the cases, women tend to experience worse side effects from these drugs, such as nausea, headache, depression, cognitive deficits, seizures, hallucinations, mood swings and agitation, and cardiac events. So before you start saying the woman is hysterical, maybe it's the drug-induced hysteria that's causing it.
Well, now, Wendy, after knowing all of that, do you still want to stay a woman?
Absolutely, I do.
All right.
Well, here's one more quote. It says, overall, our research shows that women suffer adverse drug reactions nearly twice as often as men. So then I was saying to myself, well, why are women not in the drug trials? Well, there are several reasons. Most drug trials tend to exclude women and because they have a lot of young children due to the lack of opportunity to participate in the trials away from home or from work. So working females can afford to take off time from work to participate in a lot of these trials. So the drug trials often attract unemployed males who have time and also need the money the drug companies are paying them to participate. Another reason is that traditionally the drug companies did not want females, and they were excluded on purpose because the females were seen to be unstable. Not kidding you. Here's a quote from the study. For decades, women were excluded from clinical drug trials based in part on unfounded concerns that females with hormone fluctuations render the female too difficult or hysterical to work with. End of quote.
Wow. Have you experienced any of those hormone fluctuations?
Yeah. Well, you know, okay, so there are hormones that fluctuate in the female, you know, anatomy, you know, because of cycles, childbirth, and all kinds of things. Plus, you never know what medications they're on that are interrupting those types of...
I'm not sure you should have told Joe that. He might not be ready for it.
Well, you know, until the 1990s, really, females in general, even pregnant women, they couldn't get into a drug trial to save their life. So evidence is also showing that female animals are absent from the animal studies as well. So they don't want female animals in their drug trials. You have to ask yourself, you know, is science really all that smart?
No. The same thing, I was just thinking in terms like cattle. We base, when you're doing ranch work, you base your different drugs and things on weight and age. And you're right, all the different testing was on the male animal. I think it's because the reproductive system is complicated with the different hormones and changes, and I think it's very complicated. And if you work with the males, it's a lot simpler. So they go with the simple way out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, in the ancient world, even with the natural healers, they used common sense. They based doses by weight.
Yeah.
You know, so younger children, you know, infants, women, men, they all got a dose based on their weight. Herbalists today do that, especially for anyone under 100 pounds. You base a dose on weight. So this cookie cutter medicine, you know. Now, you know, I will say it's not all types of therapies that medicine is doing that to. They do have some instances where there are just doses for, you know, adolescents and things. I've seen that. But basically, in general, a lot of these prescription drugs are kind of just tailored to the male metabolism, though.
Wendy, just had a thought. We're talking on this vaccines and different things. There were some different things for cattle that they told us not to give until an animal was 6 months old because they would be ineffective. Don't bother to waste your money on giving this vaccine because the animal until 6 months, it won't work. And I've noticed I've never heard anything like that in human medicine, but when you're dealing with animals, whether it's puppies, horses, cattle, that I understand, there are a lot of rules like that that you don't do because it's a waste of money, but you never hear that with the immunizing or vaccines or treatments for human infants.
Right, you don't. Absolutely. It's just bizarre, isn't it? I mean, so, sort of like a common sense rule there. You know, the immune system is very immature. And when you inject things into the body like that, it's an assault on the immune system. It really is.
And a young child, I've often wondered about that because there are certain ones I wouldn't let my children have. And one of the reasons they asked me why, and I told them about the cattle, and they looked at me like, don't vax your beef cattle till they're 6 months old. It won't
right.
do any good. In fact, it may do harm. So you don't harm something you're trying to raise to sell. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking, my children are a lot more valuable than those cows out there, those calves.
Yep. There was actually a coroner, medical doctor, I think he was in Germany, Europe area. He wrote a paper based on sudden infant death syndrome, where, you know, the children tend to just die in their sleep kind of thing. But in a lot of cases, you know, an autopsy is done on a child in that instance, and it looks like the child was picked up and shaken because they have a hemorrhage in one part of their brain. So a lot of times, you know, the caregiver or the parent is arrested for murder. But this coroner found is he did all these autopsies on these children, and he noticed that this hemorrhage happened in a specific part of the brain, which was in the area of the brain where it controls involuntary breathing when you're sleeping. So the child just quits breathing and dies. He said that it was, in his opinion, caused by the heavy metals in the vaccines that caused the hemorrhage in the brain. It wasn't anything about picking the kid up and shaking it.
It's amazing how that wasn't put out there for public consumption. That I recall.
Right. It did get around to the natural healing realm, but, you know, natural science kind of just suppressed that. You know, science
yeah.
did suppress
We actually had some cases where we had some people on this radio program where that happened. A man was charged, a young man was charged with doing that, with shaking his baby. And he went in and he got an attorney and he got some medical experts on there to prove the opposite, that the baby had not been shaken.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But now that's interesting, because I didn't realize that these studies were done mostly on men and not women. And that, you know, that is interesting. Now, is that still the way it is today?
Well, no, they do have some women they accept in trials now, and you can actually, parents actually donated their kids for the COVID vaccine trials, and their kids wound up damaged, and then they were before Senator Johnson crying and complaining, but they waived all their rights when they submitted their child for that, so there's nothing anybody can do. So, you know, they allow children to be in clinical trials in some instances now, as well as women and pregnant. I think pregnant women is kind of an iffy thing. I haven't seen too many studies on that.
Well, we're going to play a little bit of a clip, just a woman who took the vaccine. You know, they keep doing it, and I don't understand. We're telling people the dangers of these things, and they keep doing it. And so we're going to play just a little bit of a clip here after the break. A woman who took the, and we keep calling it a vax when it's not a vax at all. And, you know, it's a bioweapon. The people that invented it said it is a bioweapon. Don't take it. And so she's going to tell a little bit of her story about, and they trust, how could you possibly trust Big Pharma? I don't know. I can't understand people. I mean,
well, I don't think it's about trusting Big Pharma. I think people may not trust Big Pharma or the government, but they're trusting their doctors. And the problem is, Dr. McCullough says physicians and nurses are being threatened by their licenses will be revoked if they have any kind of opinion against this agenda of vaccinating everybody with this stuff. So, That's the problem, you know. The medical staff are being threatened, intimidated, and provoked. So, you know, that's why.
I have here a clip on my phone of a woman that's exactly what happened to her. She was prescribing hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and had a very good success rate. Didn't lose any patients. And because she was doing that, she did lose her license. She had to leave, and she had to go to another country and practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see.
Well, we need to give out those numbers. We got a little break.
Oh, my gosh, we haven't done it in a long time. 888-281-1110. Boy, do we. We haven't given out these. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Boy, Joe, you know what? We have approximately 55 minutes left in the program, and we have to raise approximately $4,000. So we're 4,000 short. So we need four people to pledge.
Having a good program, interesting topics, that we don't concentrate on the donation. So I hope the listeners are understanding that. We, even if it's a really interesting thing, we still need you to call in. And you might miss a few minutes of the program, but it is vitally important so that we can continue to stay on air on the station you're listening to, that we don't have to lose a station, and you might not be able to get us so easily.
Wendy, while we've got you here, what kind of specials do you have on your natural medicines given to us by God?
Oh, we're having a Christmas special. Any order over $50 will receive 30% off. Some restrictions do apply on product, but it's mostly the products we're manufacturing. So they just simply can call or go up on the website. You want to use the coupon MARY21, so Mary like for Merry Christmas, and you'll get the 30% off. And the sale runs through the 26th.
All righty, so tell us about right now.
Well, better give us the website and all that while you give us that Mary21.
Sure. Yeah, so they go up on the website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, or they can call toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663.
You know, you ought to tell Joe, in case he ever has a problem with his kidney stones, about your kidney stone formula.
Yeah, very effective formula. Dr. John Christopher developed that, has a clinical track record of 60 years of use, so it's all plant-based and it works really quick.
All righty, very good. And what about your adrenal gland formula?
Yeah, for people that feel a little sluggish, a lot of times it's the gland system needs a little perking up, including the adrenals, and a lot of people feel a lot better once they get some nutrition in there for the glands.
Sometimes Joe has to put on a new roof. Tell him about your shingles be gone kit.
Well, yeah, there's some herbs that have natural inhibitors to the zoster virus, which is your shingles virus, so you can kind of stop an outbreak in its tracks. Absolutely great.
That has got to be worth its weight in gold. I have had so many people I know get the shingles, and they didn't have access, and they just suffered.
Oh, so it's terrible. Because that virus sits on your ganglion nerve sheath and really is painful. So why not use herbs that God gave you to inhibit it so it doesn't erupt? So I like to use those.
If you use it right away, as soon as you start to have the first symptoms of the shingles, it's pretty effective, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Is there a name or just something for shingles that people want?
It's called Shingles Be Gone Kit.
Shingles Be Gone, okay.
There you go. And so I happen to have someone who was very close to me that had shingles, and so I ordered that. And when the time came, she felt the first symptoms. She took it right away, and it was gone. And it stopped it dead in its tracks. All right, we're up against a hardcore break. We will be back right after this. Wendy, I know you want to get your beauty sleep, but you're welcome to stay with us if you'd like.
I got an early morning tomorrow, so I have to go this time, but I enjoyed every minute.
All righty. God bless you. Thanks again.
Thank you, Wendy.
All righty.
Take care, guys. Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye. Merry Christmas. Be right back after this. Don't go away. Hold up more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.